This is the NetGroup Investments Insights podcast, where one or more of our experts explores a variety of views and insights that investors care about.
Hello and welcome to the NetGroup Investments podcast, where we explore powerful ways to improve financial decision-making. I'm Nick Andrew, Managing Executive at NetGroup Investments, and today I'm joined by our behavioral champion, Sunay de Villiers. Great to have you here, Sunay.
Thanks, Nick. It's always a pleasure. And today's topic is particularly close to my heart. How small, well-placed changes can significantly improve retirement outcomes, especially when paired with sound behavioral coaching.
As many of you know, I'm a bit of a rugby fanatic. So I think it'd be a good fun place to start this discussion with the Rugby World Cup. Now, while the game has evolved, the fundamentals still win matches. And you might wonder how talking about the Rugby World Cup has any relevance to retirement planning. But let me explain. Just as rugby requires strategy, teamwork, and preparation to achieve success, retirement planning demands a similar approach. Both involve navigating unpredictability, adapting to challenges, and staying focused on long-term goals. And if we take that even further and look at our history of winning Rugby World Cups, it's even more pertinent. South Africa has won 4 Rugby World Cups, and in 3 out of 4 of those finals, 100% of the points scored by South Africa was through kicking. And in the other game, in Japan in 2019, 75% of the points were scored through kicking. So, kicking is super important in tight matches. And our star of the last 2 finals has been Hanré Pollard. If you look at what Hanré has been able to achieve, it's quite remarkable. And it all comes down to his preparation, discipline, and structure that enables him to remain calm and deliver in big, high-pressure moments.
Exactly. And just like with retirement, success comes down to discipline and execution. You don't need to play flashy, but you need to do the basics well and consistently. So the key is knowing what the basics are. I mean, in your example, Nick, what is it that Hanré focuses on in his kicking framework?
Pollard kicked a remarkable 100%, 13 out of 13 kicks. And he's got a really simple framework, which he applies with the goal of understanding what is in his control so that he can replicate that success in high-pressure scenarios. And his framework and core principles include, firstly, a mindset around pressure. He consciously acknowledges that he's going to have pressure and he actually embraces it. Secondly, he focuses on the process, the setup, the ball's always at 30 degrees. He consistently takes back a few places and puts his back toe at an angle. Basically, he keeps it simple and makes sure the things that he's in control of so that things like the shot clock are never an issue. And then he just does thousands and thousands of repetitions of planting that foot and following through to the poles. So in short, Hanré has really developed a process or a framework that he fundamentally believes in. It's simple and it's repeatable, including in high-pressure situations and even when the external conditions are out of his control.
Sure, it's such a good example of focusing on what is really important. And in a retirement planning scenario, we can actually do a similar thing. For instance, we all know there are 7 key variables that will ultimately determine if you achieve success in retirement planning or not. These are, in no particular order, your current age, the market performance throughout your investment horizon, your retirement age, your starting capital, what you contribute every month, the asset allocation you chose to invest in, and then what all your annual costs, what all of those costs per year. But the challenge in having a conversation with clients is that discussing and analyzing 7 different aspects of their retirement plan is a lot, and it can certainly be overwhelming. And often because of this, clients then tend to focus on the wrong things and they make decisions that are not optimal for their chances of success in retirement.
Right. So just to get to a point of clarity, our team has done a lot of work in this space, trying to look at which of these 7 variables we should focus on, what is most important, and which ones can we most easily influence. And Sunay, you've developed a framework to help define these options clearly. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, well, first of all, it's important to be clear up front about what success looks like for the client, because this is the guiding light through the long-term plan. And for this framework, we define success as making sure your client has enough money to live comfortably and not run out of money in retirement, and depending on their financial circumstances, that they are able to leave their desired legacy.
Brilliant. Now, that sounds simple enough, but we both know that critically, just like Hanré, that the outcome at retirement is often determined by decisions that they made many, many years, and actually in retirement, often decades before. And that is where financial planners and long-term strategy play such an important role. How can we figure out which decisions to make now that will have the desired impact for the client in the long term?
That's where our research comes in, Nick. We've developed a framework that helps planners and clients separate the signal from the noise. And to develop this, we used a very powerful tool called the Big Picture. And this tool uses real asset class returns going back 100 years. So it's 1,200 months of data or 950 rolling 20-year periods. And it models the likelihood of success based on your inputs. And it allows you to very quickly see how this changes when you change one or more of those variables. And we tested multiple scenarios across all of the variables, but three things consistently stood out. Asset allocation, your time, your investment horizon, and your fees. So how much you pay per year. And these three variables have a very high impact. And if you think about it, they're actually relatively easy to implement. So we found that it really is about focusing the energy on what actually moves the needle.
Wow, this framework sounds very useful to simplify the decision-making and recognize which are the key things that we should focus on. Because there's so much noise at the moment. So would you mind going through this practically so we can really understand how the framework works?
Sure, let's talk about Mary. She's one of our case studies. Now, she's 40 years old and a brand manager earning $950,000 per year. She wants to retire at the age of 60. She has already saved 3 million rand towards her retirement, and she's still contributing 16,600 rand each month, or an annual contribution rate of 21%. We've determined that she needs 13.5 million rand in 20 years' time to be able to continue to fund her current lifestyle, and we've estimated her retirement period to be 30 years, so from 60 to 90. Mary is risk averse because she has been reading all the news headlines. And as a result, she's invested all of her retirement savings in a multi-asset, low equity portfolio. And then her all-in cost for her retirement savings is 2.5% per year. Now, when we run the numbers, using the rolling 20-year history that we have, the odds of her capital lasting, let alone leaving a legacy, aren't great. It's at 9%. But small changes make a big difference. For example, the first thing we can identify is that she has a 50-year investment horizon, so a low equity solution is way too conservative. And if we simply switch her from a low equity to a high equity portfolio, her probability of success increases 4 times. So it goes from 9% to 36%. The other thing we can show Mary is to the impact of reducing her fees. She could introduce the low-cost, top-performing Nedgroup Investments core funds to be able to cut the 2.5% down to 2.25% or even 2%. Because for each 25 basis points you reduce your total cost by per year, you increase the probability of success by between 5 and 10%.
Wow, it's remarkable what a positive impact those changes make. And they're actually relatively low effort for Mary to make. And from what I can see, it would then be possible to increase her probability of success even further by influencing some of those levers that might be slightly more difficult to impact. Things like pushing out her retirement age 3 or 5 years, or increasing her monthly contributions from 20 to perhaps 25 or 27%. But is there a behavioral issue at play here? Why was she so conservatively invested at her age in the first place?
Absolutely. The behavioral issues are very important. Knowing what to do isn't the same as actually doing it. There's so much noise and speculation around us all of the time, and it is really difficult for people to make certain financial decisions, especially when they have very busy lives to live as well. For example, it feels scary to be invested in a high equity portfolio when we can see the impact that things like elections, geopolitics, or Trump's latest announcements has on markets in the short term. And this is where financial planners play a critical behavioral role. Financial planners act as a coach or a guide and help clients stay committed to their long-term objectives, but tuning out the noise and focusing on influencing the variables that they have control over, starting with those that are easiest to change but have a significant impact. And using our framework helps to identify those things and have the important conversations with their clients by showing them the impact of their changes visually.
Okay, so to summarize, focus on the high impact controllable levers, asset allocation, time and fees, and use our framework to guide decisions and help explain that strategy to clients. I'd imagine, though, that different clients would react very differently to these suggested interventions. We've also done a lot of work around the different financial personalities of clients and how adjusting the ways we communicate with them can have a big impact on the client-planner relationship. How could we apply that with this framework?
Another crucial point, Nick. One of the key behavioral insights we've uncovered is that clients generally fall into two broad groups, high composure or low composure. And this distinction really matters, because each group processes, receives, and communicates information very differently. So understanding where your client sits on the spectrum can dramatically improve how you engage with them and how you guide their decisions. We've developed a lot of content that breaks this down into detail, and we're very excited to be releasing a new series of articles that will explore how to use this framework effectively and how to tailor communication strategies for clients at different stages of their journey. It really is all about making the advice more personal, more relevant, and ultimately more impactful for the client.
That's great. Thanks, Sune, and thanks to our listeners. At Near Group Investments, we're deeply committed to helping advisors and clients make better long-term financial decisions by combining robust data, behavioral science, and practical tools. Whether it's frameworks like the one we discussed today, or understanding how to communicate more effectively with different client personalities, our goal is to empower better outcomes. Visit neargroupinvestments.com or contact your relationship manager for more content like this. And as always, thank you for listening.
This podcast is for marketing purposes only. The information contained in the podcast or video was for information purposes and does not constitute advice, recommendation, or an offer or solicitation to purchase or sell any funds or strategies to any person in any jurisdiction in which the offer, recommendation, or solicitation to purchase would be unlawful.